Good morning. Welcome to all this morning. This morning we are going to look at a text in which Jesus tells his first followers who they are as believers, who they're going to bring the gospel to. And Jesus gives some very descriptive ideas about how this is to go about, ones that will tell us a lot as we go through them. And it really does go against many of the things that we think of about being Christian. We will also see that he has fulfilled for us that what we could not do, because he's fulfilled the law for all of mankind. And because he has done this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one least of these commandments, and so teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Now it's very interesting because to me this brings up such vivid ideas when he talks about salt. Salt is something that when sitting in the shaker or in the box is really does nothing. It sits. It is not until salt is poured out that it's good for anything. We many times think in the case of Christianity that we have to make sure that we're all cloistered, that we stay close together. And it's happened in the history of Christianity for 2,000 years. We had monks and we had monasteries and covenant and places where nuns hung out. And all these other places that people came together, and there was no way that we wanted to defile ourselves with what was in the world. And we still do it today. We come into our churches and we're very happy that we're here with our church people, and we want to make sure that everything stays nice and clean and is away from everything that's out there in the world. And if we're salt, then we're worthless. Because salt has to be poured out. When you use salt, and I do quite a bit of cooking, when you do use salt, you put it into things. You put it on things. And the salt, for the most part, disappears as far as looking like salt. It dissolves in the soups, in the food, and yet it makes the food much better. Most of us would never think about cooking without salt. And this is what he calls us. The salt of the earth. Which means we're not to sit in a little storage container. But rather, we are to be poured out over all of the people of the world. We are to go to mix with them. And in doing so, the world is transformed to a better place. Now, it doesn't mean that us gathering together to be strengthened and to hear the gospel and be drawn closer together in fellowship is bad. The thing is when we think that that's the only place that we should be and that we shouldn't be out with the sinners. We shouldn't be out in the world because that's not true. And he really goes on to explain that in our next verses. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light up a lamp and put it under a basket and put it on a stand or under a basket. We are the light to the world. And this is the thing. The church too often, unfortunately, decides that they're going to judge the world. And they're going to condemn the world. Rather than being a light to the world. Jesus sets this up very easily. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. In the darkness, when a city is out and it's in the middle of the darkness, one light shines across many, many miles. You can think about this in terms, to me, of a lighthouse out on a lake. And I've spent lots of time on Lake Superior and Lake Michigan looking at times for that lighthouse, that beacon, to get back home to the safe harbor. That's the type of light that he's dealing with. Something that makes the world take notice and know that there's something there. People do not light a candle and put it under a basket. Now I think this is a great deal. And we really don't have the need as much for candles today as they did back then. For when we walk into a room and it's dark, we reach over, flip a switch, and voila, there's light. But in that time, they lived by candlelight and lamp oils, or little oil lamps. And they didn't light one up and put a shade around it. Put a basket over the top of it. Rather, what they did is they lifted it up as high as they could get it so that everyone in the house would be able to have light. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about, what we're supposed to do. We are not supposed to hide who we are. We are not supposed to hide our light from the world. But rather, we are to be part of the world. We are to go out into it. And a very interesting thing, the confirmation class, and I haven't taught confirmation class in a few years, but I got the opportunity because Mark was gone to go in there today, and we started a discussion on the letter or Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And when I started talking about it, I asked the question, well, what was Ephesus like? And of course, they didn't know, and I kind of expected that. Because we don't really, unfortunately, teach a lot of these things like we should. But Ephesus was a city that was very, very evil. It had one of the largest temples to the goddess Diana in the Roman times, but Diana. And their worship was evil. And it would be considered just sick in our eyes. And the whole city revolved around this temple, and they had people coming and going from all places. And yet, did Christ hide his light, his servant Paul, from going there and proclaiming the gospel? No. And there were Christians there that were converted. And there was a church there. And does Paul tell them, well, now you've got to get out of this city because it's evil? No. And see, this is the problem. For way too long, we in Christianity have tried to separate ourselves from the world instead of engaging in the world, being a part of it, taking part in activities that are not against what we believe, but actually being with people, serving them, and loving them so that they too can see the light. We want to separate ourselves and get away from it. But Jesus says that we're supposed to be like that candle that's put up high in the house on a stand. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are we supposed to be different than the world? Yes. We're supposed to make the world better. We're supposed to allow God to work through us as we enter into the world, as we leave this building, and as we serve others, so that it will be better. Now, will everybody be able to see the difference in us? Or in the world? Yeah, actually, by this, it will. If we are the salt of the world, and again, I'll go back to my favorite analogy about salt, because I like this analogy. If you take a steak done perfectly to 142 degrees, medium rare, it's beautiful, it's sitting on the plate, and it's just been thrown on the grill, and come off the grill, and there's no seasoning to it, it's pretty bland. But if you take the shaker out, and you shake the salt upon that steak, and you put it on there, and then you don't see it anymore, but you cut into it and you taste it, how much better is the steak? You see, we are to go out into the world and be part of the world. We're not going to be separated from God. God's not going to abandon us, and nothing is going to destroy us. We will make the world a better place. Now, do we still come back, gather together, get refreshed, get strengthened by the Word of God and by the Gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes. But the world should not be a scary place for us. We serve the King. We serve a conqueror. And He has asked us to go forth into that world and to be part of it so that they too can know the love of God. That they can see our works, what we do as believers in Jesus Christ, and they also will be transformed. And this is who we are called to be. And Jesus goes on to talk about His law. And I think it's very interesting that He puts that right following this. Because it would be easy to say, then go out in the world and do whatever they want you to. But that's really not what we are to do. We are to go out and to be examples of Jesus Christ's love. But here's what He says about the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now it's interesting how he puts that. He hasn't come to get rid of the law and the prophets, the whole of the Old Testament, but he has fulfilled it. It is done. Now it doesn't mean that we are to go out and willy-nilly break it. It just means that its power over us is no longer there. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. And this is the thing. The law is still holy and just. The problem is, the law was weak, not in what it said, but in the flesh that it said it to. I can stand up here all day long and teach you the law and the commandments. And I can hammer them home day after day, week after week, year after year. And because we are in the flesh, we will break them. It's the sad case of who we are as human beings in the flesh. It doesn't make the law wrong. It doesn't make it evil. What it makes it is something that we can realize that we have no ability to follow. I'm not telling you to go and break the law, because that's the last thing you should do. But if you do, I will tell you that Jesus Christ went to the cross to shed his blood for your forgiveness, for even breaking that law. That you are forgiven. That he has fulfilled that law for you. And now that we are bound to him, he is our righteousness. That he has now taken care of that law for us. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. Now I thought this was very interesting because I hadn't seen it before yesterday afternoon as I was looking at this. Even if you mess up the teaching of the commandments, it says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. If you notice, he doesn't throw you out. Knowing very well that we'll pick and choose the commands that we should follow. We'll pick and choose what we think is right and wrong. And we'll mess it up every time. We are to teach the commands in their fullness. And we do so. But we also do so with teaching the knowledge that even when we fall and we break these commands, that we are forgiven by Jesus' shed blood. And then he goes on to tell us exactly how righteous we need to be. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now some of us think that we're pretty righteous and we follow the lists that we have really well. We set up these things and most of the time we set them up so that we can follow them. But the scribes and the Pharisees not only had the written code, which is recorded in the Old Testament, especially in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, they had the oral code. One that told you that yes, you have to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but how many steps you could possibly take on that day. How much you could lift. How many animals you could feed. The whole oral code of what this is. And this is what the scribes and Pharisees taught. And so that their righteousness as far as on earth, Paul was able to say as a Pharisee that I was blameless. And yet he calls scribes and Pharisees hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. Because they were pious, not thinking indeed that they needed a Savior, and not even realizing what Jesus had said during the Sermon on the Mount, where he turns the world upside down. Or actually, he says later on, when he talks about anger and he talks about lust, that when we hate our brother, we're guilty of murder. That when we look upon another with lust, we are guilty of adultery. He sets what he considers to be righteousness much higher than anything that the law ever proclaimed. Because now he looks here. He looks down in our hearts. Not on the outward and how we act on the outside, but rather who we are on the inside. And when we come to the point that we're honest with ourselves, there is no way that we can say, yes, my righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. We have no ability in that. But because we know very well that we have been angry with our brother. That we have looked upon someone with longing that we shouldn't have. That we have coveted what our neighbor has been given. And in doing so, break all of the law. But we have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Because we have the person of Jesus Christ. We have God's own Son, whom God sent to be the sacrifice for our sin. And now God has adopted us in, has now made us His children, heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, has sealed us into Jesus Christ by our baptism, has given us His righteousness. That yes, our righteousness indeed does exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. Because it is not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, whom we've been joined with. And we indeed are that righteous, because of what God has done for us, not because of our actions or our work. Do we still go out into the world and do God's work? Yes. We are the salt and the light of the earth. We go out into the world unafraid of being tainted by it. We go out into the world and we love the world. Just as when we were in the world, we were loved. So that the whole world can know and become a better place. Do we follow the law? We can try. But we break it. And our righteousness no longer comes from following that law. Our righteousness comes, as we saw last week, from following the person of Jesus Christ. Of spreading the message of the gospel. Of sharing the forgiveness that we have received. and of knowing that indeed we are forgiven by a loving Heavenly Father. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you that you have provided your Son, that we, Father, are now called your children by him, and that the righteousness that you require has been fulfilled through him. We ask, Father, that you would now help us, by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, to step out into the world, to step out into all those people whom you also love, and spread this message, to love them, that they would know who we are by what we do, and by what you lead us to do by the power of that Spirit. That, Father, they would also come to know that you have forgiven them in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and they too can have the assurance to go and to proclaim that message to others. We thank you, Father, for this time to gather together, to be strengthened by your word and through fellowship together, and ask your blessing upon it, that, Father, it would be fruitful and we would go out and be lights in our world, our community, our workplaces, and even our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.